consistently yields to God's demand of sanctification. But if it is that we want to define holiness itself, we say it's a quality of perfection, sinlessness, and inability to sin that is possessed by God alone. God is holy in a transcendent and infinitely perfect way. Amen. About the believer, I want you to write Psalm 4, verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 to verse 16. We are talking holiness. Psalm 4, verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 15, sorry, chapter 1, verse 15 to verse 16. Therefore, or thus, holiness characterizes outward acts, but still more, the purity of motives, purity of thoughts, purity of desires, and purity of the intents of the heart. Okay? Holiness is an inward principle, not mere rectitude or benevolence or any other moral excellence. But holiness is the harmonious and perfect blending of all moral excellences. Do you understand? Huh? To be patient, to be kind, to be good, to be that. Everything that is good put together as we see it in God. That is what holiness. So we can't just define holiness as one particular thing, okay? That, this person is morally excellent, is morally this and that. No. That's why I want to just simply put it as holiness is the Christian's response to what? To sanctification. That way it's simpler for you to understand, okay? And it is less theologically cumbersome, okay? It's not cumbersome. It's simple. It's something that you can pick and use. You understand? So I will skip all the other things. If the class I'm teaching is older than this, then those other things might have been important. But for now, it's not. Point number one under holiness, God's purpose in commanding us to be sanctified is so that at the end we will partake of His holiness. Therefore, holiness is being like God. Okay? God's purpose in commanding us to be sanctified is so that at the end we will partake of what? Of His holiness. Okay? Thus, holiness is actually being like God. Psalm 4, verse 3, let's open to that place. Psalm 4, verse 3, what does it say?
You can be sure that anyone who serves the Lord faithfully is special to Him. The Lord listens when I pray to Him.
Is there King James or New King James?
The Lord will hear when I call to Him.
We know that the Lord has set apart for Himself who is godly. The moment you want to live a godly life, God sets you apart for Himself. Okay? He sanctifies you and makes you holy. Okay? Holiness is not a series of actions. Holiness is a lifestyle. Amen? Holiness is not what? It's simply what? It's a lifestyle. The lifestyle of God. Not from actions like, you know, I read my Bible constantly, I fast, I pray, I don't dress in a worldly way. As good as those things are, they are not holiness. Okay? Holiness is simply a lifestyle. The lifestyle of who? Of God. Okay? Holiness is more of how you live than what you do. Okay? Because how you live should control what you do. Is it not so? Okay? And that's why we said that holiness is simply a lifestyle. There are some points I don't want to explain, and there are some points I will explain, but she will write everything. You understand? Because of our time, exactly why I still want to make sure we take one more. Okay? That when we come back tomorrow, I have just two more left, and I can say I have to wrap up on this course tomorrow. I will skip number two. She will write number two on the board. Number three, as a believer, yields to the Holy Spirit by becoming habitually good, denying sin, thinking and acting in a godlike manner, and in short, conforming in his innermost being, as well as outward conduct, to the highest and absolute law of the will of God, the will of God, he becomes holy. Okay? Like I said, all of this she will write. Okay, just points that I think are important for me that I will just state like this, but she will write everything. Now, number four, which is the last point there, I'm going to stay there and explain it, okay? Before I now move to number eight, where we are going to stop, or point number eight, or step number eight, under the process of salvation, which is assurance, where we'll end. Now, number four, under holiness, the more holy a man is, the more humble, self-renouncing, self-abhorring, and the more sensitive to every sin he becomes, and the more closely he clings to Christ. The moral imperfections which cling to him, he feels to be sins, which he laments and strives to overcome. Amen. Okay, you can take it now. You can then write everything. Praise the Lord. The holier somebody becomes, the more humble he becomes. Amen. If he is becoming holy in truth. The kind of working with God that people have today, and they boast about everything they do. If they must fast, they must announce it. If they give, they must a camera. All of those things is a clear indication of the fact that men have missed it. Amen. If somebody is becoming more holy, they will become more humble. They will become more self-renouncing. Now, more humble means that he doesn't care so much about reputation. People bowing before they greet him, calling him Pastor this, Reverend that, Daddy, you know, all those things that people call themselves. Okay? The holier a man becomes, the more senseless those things become to him. And so he has no interest in them. He's more concerned about himself. He's more concerned about his world with God. Amen. Okay? So when he studies his Bible, he's more concerned about how he's failing God in meeting up to the levels that God will have him reach. Okay? We may look at him from outside and say, wow, that is a very, very holy man. But what keeps him humble are his own moral imperfections. Now, moral imperfections are not sins. We're talking about human weaknesses, like maybe you forget things quickly. Okay? Maybe you waste time and you're trying to stop wasting time. All those tiny, tiny things. He now begins to see them as sins. Why? Because the more he yields to God, the more he should be able to manage those things. So he feels that he has not yielded to God well enough. That's why he's not managing those things properly. Are you getting it now? So he's more concerned about himself. He's more concerned about where God will have him be. God's demands upon his life. Okay? He's more humble. He judges himself more harshly while judging other people more kindly. You know the way we do it now, normally. We judge ourselves, we make excuse for ourselves, have you? But what happens to other people? We judge them harshly. If it's a serious person, you should not behave like that. Okay? Instead, what does he do? If it is him, he doesn't give himself excuse. But he's ready to give every other person else excuses. Why? It's because he's maturing now. He's now approaching holiness. Because he knows that in a multitude of words, they are wanted not sin. Okay? He knows that if he responds to a matter that he hears about, he may fall into sin since he does not see the whole picture, since he's not God. Are you getting it now? So, he's not quick to judge people. I mean other people. Okay? But he's very quick to judge himself. Yet, he does not fall into self-condemnation. Hallelujah. Why? Remember where he's coming from. He's mature enough to know the difference between self-condemnation and righteous self-judgment. They're not the same. Okay? The more holy a man becomes, the more self-renouncing he becomes. Self-renouncing and humility is not the same thing. As in humbling yourself and renouncing yourself is not the same thing. That means he becomes more self-sacrificial. You understand? He sacrifices more. Gives to other people more. Serves other people more. He doesn't want to be served. He doesn't want to be called daddy. He doesn't, you know, all of those kind of things. He has no interest in them. So, the more self-renouncing he becomes, the more things that belongs to him, he sees it as they belong to God. So, everybody has access to them. Okay? Holiness is a very, very beautiful level because we become more and more like God. And it is also a mark or a badge of legitimacy as far as spiritual authority is concerned. Okay? Do you understand that? Satan and his people will always be afraid of confronting a holy man. Do you know why? Because the holy person is next to God in position and in power. While he's self-renouncing and all of that, if he whispers a prayer, he thunders in the spirit realm. What did I say? If he whispers a prayer, what happens in the spirit realm? He thunders. Because the holier it becomes, the more it's now like God. Okay? Are you done? Now, assurance. But assurance is where we are now. Assurance. Don't worry. Just listen to me. Eh? You will have the note. When you are done writing, she will erase it. You understand? And then she will write the next one. Okay? Assurance is the next step. In fact, assurance... I'm going to just explain the definition alone, okay? From what I'm sensing that we need. That's everything that we need. You understand? But for our level, I want to just give us the precise exact things that we need, okay? Assurance is the certainty and confidence felt deeply. Assurance is a certainty and confidence felt deeply in the heart of the believer that he is saved. What's assurance, though? It is a certainty and the confidence that is felt deeply in the heart of the Christian that is a saved person, comma, based on the peace of reconciliation with God. That is, assurance is based on what? The peace of reconciliation with God, or the peace that comes from his now being reconciled back to God. Come on again. The absence of the guilt of sin. The absence of the guilt of sin. The absence of the guilt of sin. Come on again. The evidence of a new life. Don't worry, we'll explain everything one by one, okay? The evidence of a new life. Come on. The father-son relationship with God. Come on. New attitude towards sin. And the continuous inward work of the Holy Spirit. Full stop. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 to 2. Ephesians 2 verse 18. Romans 8 verse 8 to 39. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. Okay, you can now start writing those other ones. Assurance is actually certainty, okay? And confidence that is felt deeply within the heart of the Christian. I don't know about you, but some people who say they are born again, most of the time they are afraid to sleep at night because of nightmares, and, you know? All of those kind of things. When assurance dawns upon your spirit, you will sleep like a baby. How will you be sleeping? And if anything dares you in your dream, you will deal with them. Because being born again is not just a physical thing for you when you are awake. It has soaked into your spirit. So that even in your subconscious, or maybe dreams and all of that, you get to be quoting scriptures, standing your ground. No devil can withstand you. If they bring you food, you will eat, you ask for water. Amen. Amen. Some people are afraid to eat in the dream. you know, so that we don't eat poison. But when you are saved, and you are certain that you are saved, what will you be afraid of?
Afraid of anything, because perfect love cast out fear.
Okay? So, assurance is simply that you are certain, and you are confident that you are what? That you are saved. And so therefore, you act, talk, and reason as somebody who is sure and confident of his or her salvation. You know what is sad? Most church people don't get to this point of settled assurance, where it doesn't matter what is happening, it doesn't matter the problems and challenges that you have, all you simply do is, Lord, you know I serve you alone. Amen. You know I serve you how? You know I have no interest in one black thing from one Baba anywhere. You know I have no confidence in whatever help men can bring to me. I don't use black soap or yellow or blue. I serve you alone. That is assurance. And Father, because I serve you alone, I ask that you help me in this issue. And what will happen? He will help you. Because he knows you serve him alone. Lack of assurance is what makes somebody, because he's going through circumstance and situation, you can be right in. Because he's going through a hard time, you know, and all of that. That's not what will make him. His friends will not say, is this how you will continue? I know one prophet. All he will just do is pray for you. And you follow them to prophet. Since God cannot hear you. And when you get there, prophet says, bring soap, bring this one, bring that one. You bring it. Say, bring water. Bring it. You see, he has now sanctified you. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
If the problem persists, the person may now be told that I know one afar. And what happens though? Sickness will find herself in the shrine of an afar. If he persists. Huh? So don't worry, I know one Baba, but when you are entering the place, it is back that you must use to enter. Juju will now become something to the person. Amen. Assurance is based on the peace of reconciliation with God. If you have been reconciled with God, the constant state of your heart should be peace. For the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. Isaiah 32:17. Yes. Isaiah 32:17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Ever. Amen. If you are saved and you have a good relationship with God, peace should be your constant state of mind. Be peaceful. Amen. But most are not. Most are not peaceful. If they are not afraid of jam, they be afraid of WAEC. If they are not afraid of WAEC, they be afraid of post-UME. If they are not afraid of post-UME, they be afraid of what will my result look like, because you are not at peace. Amen. But if you have been reconciled with God, back to God, you should be peaceful. Do you know why? As you don't know what your post UME result is, God too does not know of you. Do you get it now? So what happens? I shall like, hey, Pastor, hey, I don't want to sit at home for one more year. Oh. You have understood God, who said, ask and it shall be given to you. All you just need is, Lord, I'm afraid of this thing. Then, as you are searching through your Bible, it will give you reason why you shouldn't be afraid. Because what is keeping you in suspense is not also keeping God in suspense. So, as I do, what will my result be? God will now be saying, if only I know your result, I would have told you. I cannot be God. The one I serve now. While he will not tell you your result, he will give you a word. That as you hold on to his word, every time that thing comes to make you afraid, when you confront it with what the word of God says, what happens now? It goes down. That thing goes down. And therefore, the work of righteousness will now be what? Peace. And what will be the effect of righteousness? Quietness. There will be quiet in your heart. And assurance for how long? Peace of reconciliation means this. You are no longer fighting God. What does it mean? As you can see it in Romans chapter 5, that is quoted from verse 1 to verse 2. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Can somebody read for me? Who is reading Romans 5, 1 to 2?
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God.
We now have peace with God.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Through whom also we have access by faith. Into this grace
in which we stand
and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Amen. Are you getting it now? So, if you've been reconciled to God, we have what we call the peace of reconciliation. Now that you have come back to God, you are now a child of God, you are no longer an enemy of God, you should be peaceful. Every responsible father caters for his own. Is it not so? Caters for his children. Is it not so? In the same way, you are now no longer the one trying to struggle to make things happen for yourself. Who now makes things happen for you? God. Okay? And that's what we mean by the peace of reconciliation. The absence of the guilt of sin. At the level of assurance, when you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you won't be doing, am I sure God is hearing me? Even when Satan always passed through, only God knows those who are serving him. You know that saying it's true. I don't even know whether God is hearing me now, sir. Many are afraid of confronting the devil, even in their own life, because they know they don't have victory over sin. Do you understand? So they still keep having the guilt of sin. But like we said under justification, your past is what? Huh? Is forgiveness. Sorry? I didn't hear you. The past is dead with the old nature. You are correct. The past is forgiven and is forgotten by God. So when the devil now brings you used to smoke Igbo. He says, so what? You, what do you use to smoke? I'm better than you, but you are still in rebellion and in sin. I have forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how to respond. Without the grace of God, is there anything that we could have done right? Could we have lived a holy life? And so, what is there in that somebody didn't do something well? What is important is, have I been forgiven by the Lord? And like I said, under justification, is forgiveness up to you? That you are forgiven. Is it about you? No, it's about God. If you are not God, you can't forgive yourself. If you can't forgive yourself, you can't say, I will never forgive myself for this thing. It is foolishness. Because even in the first place, you can't forgive yourself. To err is human, to forgive is divine. It is God who forgives. Okay? The guilt of sin is what makes people, instead of praying scripture warfare prayers, they start to pour the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Lord, this prayer that I want to pray, let the enemy, let nothing affect us. Let everything be back to sender. It is because somewhere very quietly inside you, you are thinking that maybe God has not yet forgiven you, okay? The evidence of a new life. Remember what we said under sanctification? The kind of music that you used to listen to before, you're not listening anymore. The kind of ungodly and very, very worldly people that used to be your friends. What have you done? You have exchanged them. And the more you do all those things, the more you begin to experience a new and a changed life. New desire, new attitude towards sin, new attitude towards God, new attitude towards holy things. You understand that? The father-son relationship with God, I think I've explained that under adoption. Have you? New attitude towards sin. Where you used to be its slave before, now you hate sin with a passion. If somebody is born of God, will a person hide sin? What if the person stumbles into sin? Will he hide sin? When somebody hides sin, what do you think is the problem? Sorry? He's not working in sanctification. That's correct. You are correct. You are correct. He's not, because the point is that between being born again and getting to the kingdom of God, it's a very long journey. Amen. And the only thing will keep forging you, keep cleansing you. Did I say that you keep sinning and standing on? Is that what I said? I said cleaning, forging. You know that that's what I said. So, if you do something wrong, you are not ready to hide what you have done. You are the first person to push it out. And say, Lord, I admit to, I can see this evil. This one was hiding inside me. Meanwhile, Satan will be begging you to keep it. It won't keep you. It will be begging you to keep it. That. If you expose me now, what would people think about me? Because of your love for God, when you now stumble into sin, you're not ready to hide anything. You are the first that exposes it. And when you do that, you know what God does for you? He forgives you. Then he teaches you how next time to avoid such errors or such mistakes, how to do better, all of that. Then he gives you grace to overcome what has been difficult for you to overcome. Amen. Are we following? Assurance is also based. The Lord is saying, I see something on that issue. New attitude towards sin. The way you used to drink sin like water before, you find it impossible. If you are now born again and you are now changed, things that your conscience, your heart does not even raise before, you begin to raise it. You begin to ask questions so that constantly you want to be sure whether or not things are right or things are okay with you. Are you following? When and where you have sinful friends before, you now have no interest in keeping sinful friends. When people share jokes that are not convenient, coarse jokes, dirty jokes, do you laugh? When I was a teenager, I used to work with an office for people that were graduates and all of that. Oh my God, it could be so wrong. They would be joking about themselves, making very, very dirty jokes. And it was a common office. You understand? That means several people have their tables in that same office. Okay? They will all laugh. I won't even smile, not to talk about laugh. And I was the youngest person. So one day, one of them became a deacon in his church. One of those people. You know, and from the time he became a deacon, he did not want to be sounding, religious and all of that. Then one of them said to him that there's only one Christian in this office. We were all there, you know, I wasn't minding them because that's how they joke normally. I was just doing my thing. Then they pointed to me that I'm the only Christian in that office. Then they said that when we are joking, you will not laugh. When we are singing this one, you will not dance. You know, most people, when you are in the minority, so that people will not attack you, you want to conform so that they will think that you are okay and all that. I was the youngest person. But I know they were all living in sin. I knew that they were all in darkness. So there's no point pandering to them. I don't need numbers to be a Christian. I don't need what? That is, I don't need more people to be Christian around me to be a Christian. I don't need it. I'm a Christian because I have seen how beautiful Jesus is. And I've seen what he has done and achieved for my life. Finally, because of the continuous inward work of the Holy Spirit, we have assurance. Okay? As he keeps cleansing you, as he keeps telling you, no, stop doing this, start doing that. Okay? What happens to us now? We are sure that we are God's children and that he has saved us. And that his work in us is even constant, even up till now. As I wrap up, before we ask our question, let me give you an example of the demands of sanctification. A point comes in your life when it's time to marry, those of you that are close to such age, okay? And the Holy Spirit will begin to tell you the kind of people you can marry and the kind of people you can't marry. Amen. If you're not saying, no, I like tall, dark, and handsome men who has his own car. The Holy Spirit may tell you, is that what I'm talking to you about? Is it car you want to marry? Or somebody that fears God? Amen. In the world today, sex before marriage, is it a sin? In the world, is it not a common thing? Is it not a normal thing? In many churches, while they will not openly condemn it, a pastor told me before, somebody came to their church, and what he was telling the young people is, and you know, you have to be careful. Make sure you are using condom. I'm telling you. Is there, should it come up for discussion? Hello. I have a fiancé. I want to know how far is too far. Should that come up? Is this should you be asking? Are you married? Amen. And that all the people are doing it and they look like God is blessing them. Does it make it right? Doesn't make it right. The other day, I don't know whether you had a controversy of a pastor that was saying that masturbation is not a sin. Then another pastor came out and said that masturbation is a sin. Amen. So, some things should not come up. That's the issue. Didn't even be a discussion. But should I tell you why masturbation is a sin? Should I tell you why? Jesus said, whoever sees a woman, or whoever sees a man, and looks at a man or a woman lustfully, he has already committed fornication. Is it not so? Isn't that what Jesus said? Now, can a person masturbate without a picture? Can people masturbate without pictures? Whether a mental picture or something they put in front of themselves to be seen. What is he doing? It's simple. Whoever looks at a man or a woman with lust in his heart, what has he done already? He has committed adultery. That's what Jesus said. Simple. The pastor that said that masturbation is not a sin is Oyakhilome. Amen. So it became an open season of fornication for members of his church. You are free. Amen. So, as long as the Holy Spirit keeps working in you, you know when it's now time to marry, there are guidelines. Is it not so? There are guidelines. There are things you can't do. Why? Because if you do them, the work with God that you have been developing for years.
Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
To do anything that will cause you to lose your walk with God, you will not. And anybody that wants to make you lose it, you know it's not your friend. And you know, since I'm going to marry you, if you really love me, prove it. That's the day the relationship will end. For a relationship whose foundation is sinful, will the building upon it be holy? Simple. May God give us wisdom in Jesus' name. So, these are the ways by which we have assurance. Okay? All the different steps and points that have been raised as we allow the work of the Holy Spirit to continue in us, as we begin to have new attitude towards sin, the peace that comes from reconciliation with God, those are the ways by which we are assured that we are the children of God. And as He loved me yesterday, He still loves me when? Today. Even now, I'm still loved. I'm still His beloved. Okay? Writing. I want you to ask the Lord, as you are seated there, help me, Lord, to respond to the demands of sanctification that I may become holy. Since you have said, "Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, I am holy," help me to respond to the demands of sanctification, or to God's demands of sanctification upon my life, so that I can arrive at holiness. Help me to respond in the name of Jesus. As the Lord attempts to separate me from corrupting and contaminating influences, as He attempts to produce His fruit in me, as He attempts to conform me to the image of Jesus Christ, Lord, help me to respond appropriately so that the work of Jesus Christ can be fully done in my life. I want us to pray in the same vein. Lord, I plead for assurance. I plead for what? Assurance in my spirit. Assurance that I'm saved. So that when the enemy comes to question my salvation, I can stand with confidence and with boldness. I can stand with certainty, confidence, and boldness to say, no, I'm a child of God. We will not constantly need circumstances changing before we think that God loves us, or before we think that we have a walk with Him. Lord, help me. Tell Him as I grow. Cause me to grow in your fear constantly. Cause me to know you more and more. Cause me to make progress in my walk with God. So that I can serve God as I ought to, even in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your will be done in my life. Help me to make progress, even as I walk with God. Thank you because you are faithful. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we have questions. Question time now. We have 1 hour to ask questions. If you have questions on these two lessons that we have learned, holiness and assurance, you can begin to ask them. And if it's questions from the last session in the morning, we can also ask.
Sir, my question is on holiness.
Holiness.
Yes, sir. I want to ask that, how can a born again Christian that has been filled with the Holy Spirit,
that is filled with the Holy Spirit, yes?
Yes. Or will I say, let's say a holy person.
You said?
Let me put it in a holy person.
A holy person?
How is it possible for someone that is holy to commit a sin?
How is it possible for someone that is holy to commit a sin? When he begins to make mistakes that he shouldn't be making, and is not sensitive to see that he's already going down. Nobody suddenly falls. What did I say? Have you ever seen a plane that just suddenly flew up? If a plane wants to fly, what will it do? You know, it requires a runway, is it not so? Then it will be ascending, ascending, and ascending. Is it not so? When a plane wants to land, how? Does it just fall down? It will be descending, descending, descending until it's down on the floor. It's the same with the spiritual life. Nobody suddenly falls. You would have been descending, 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 but you will not be noticing. You understand? And of course, it begins from when your consecration, okay? When either you are joking with your consecration, okay? Or you are reducing in consecration. Now, consecration is simply your decision to respond to sanctification. Do you understand it now? When God says, be holy. I'm just using that as an example. What are you doing now? You are striving to be holy, okay? When he says, don't dress this way anymore, and you say, I won't dress that way anymore, what have you done? You have consecrated, okay? You have consecrated yourself to God in that area. Don't listen to this kind of music, you won't. Don't keep this kind of friends, I will not keep them, and you change from keeping them. What are you doing? You are consecrating, you understand? So when consecration become light, meanwhile, consecration is supposed to be heavy, is it not so? Because that's the entire body of your relationship with God. That is from your side. You understand? When you are now no longer very serious with your consecrations, of course, you start reducing in grace. You start reducing in even consecration. And after a while, the person will fall away. That's what happens. A Christian stumbles into sin when he's not careful enough. A Christian remains in sin when he does not urgently come out of sin, when he stumbles into it. Okay? Then if a Christian is not careful, that becomes his lifestyle. And then he will require being saved all over again. That's the answer. Yes. Now, is that okay?
How can you help a leader who is backsliding?
How can we help a leader that is backsliding? Or that is backsliding? Is it backsliding or backsliding? Because it's not the same.
You notice that it's backsliding.
Okay.
So how can we help?
By praying. Because leaders are very, very funny people. Sometimes when you approach them, they may say that you are rebellious and all of that. But when you pray, at least in the place of prayer, particularly when you are praying before God, you don't have to be careful. Abi, Lord, this is peace until he returns to you. You understand that kind of thing? That's easier to pray than wanting to tell him, you need to change, you need to repent. That one will not work. Okay? When a leader is backsliding, the best thing to do is to pray for the leader, for that leader. Except what you are noticing is that, let us say now, for instance, this so-called leader is actually disturbing you physically, maybe sexually. Then you can confront him. You understand? So if it's that you are noticing things, there's no ground for confrontation. But if it's that he's always saying, come and see me, when he wants to hold you, he's always rubbing his hand all around your body. You understand? You can confront him. That's why I think something is wrong with you. It's that you are busy. I'm not abusing you. I'm not abusing you. You don't used to behave like this. So if it is not that, if it's not anything physical, you can pray for him. If it's something physical, but he's telling you, you don't come and see me. Because you see, you're looking beautiful. Tell him that something is wrong with you. It is Bible studies that he used to share before. Now he's noticing that people are beautiful. You let him know. Okay? But if it's nothing physical, if there's no, if it's not that he's behaving funny around you, pray from afar. Okay? That's what you do. Sorry?
I was going to ask that. Okay. I'm a young Christian. I just got born again. How do I know that a leader is backsliding? Touch that, because there's this tendency that when you start to study the Bible, because you mentioned it, when you start to look at the Bible, there is that tendency that you might start exempting yourself as a young Christian.
You might start
removing yourself from the scriptures, and you start seeing your leader there. That's what I'm saying. So as a young Christian, a new Christian, how do you even know that? Are you even supposed to know that your leader is backsliding?
The moment you can see that a leader is backsliding, it's no longer manageable. It has become a crisis. I mean, the man's fault is no longer manageable. It has become a crisis. You understand? But how do you know? It's simple. Jesus said about their fruits. You know them. It's simple now. Do you understand? By their fruit. Someone is constantly angry. Even if he has Bible verses for his anger. To be constantly angry is not godly, for instance. Not, you know. God is long suffering. God is what? Before God will be angry. When he's not angry, everybody will know. Look at it now. God is righteous and this is anger. You understand? But somebody is all constantly angry, uses abusive words. You understand? Foul words. Yeah, uses curse words or swear words. You will notice now, does Jesus curse us? Okay? Self-defensive and all of that. So by their fruit, the moment a leader is not behaving like Jesus, what is he already? Backsliding. Simple. Because we know what Jesus would have done if Jesus is in that situation. You understand? So that's how to know. Particularly without prognosing. Eh? Of course, it's not your business now to be looking for a leader's fault. Are you getting it? But it's possible that you could see something. And it could also be possible that what you are seeing, you are not seeing well. Eh? That's also possible. You may think, when we are all praying, that leader is not standing up to pray with us. That means backsliding. You may not be seeing well that way. You understand? But I know she knows what she's talking about when a leader is backsliding. I know that there's more to that statement. But whether she wants to now share with us publicly, or it's a private matter as well. I don't know. Is it a private matter? Public. It's not really a private matter. What did you notice? Okay. Oh, okay. Can it be on microphone? Okay. He's backsliding. You are correct. He's backsliding. Pray for him. That's what you can do. Don't pray for him once in a while when you remember. Make it a duty to pray for him. Let's say Brother Kola is his name. Brother Kola, you will not be lost. Anywhere you like, go. You will not be peaceful until you return to Jesus. Those kind of prayer. And he will find a way to return so that he can maintain his sanity. Okay? And you may never need to even ever open up that you prayed for him about it. You may never need to. That becomes your own reward before God. Okay? Thank you for that. Yes, questions?
Talking about assurance. Is assurance a gift? Or is something that you constantly pray and ask for, or it's what just come naturally after following the steps?
Assurance is not a gift. It's not a spiritual gift, okay? It may not necessarily even be something you pray for. It's something that will just happen as long as these things that are taught to you are done. And as long as you are practicing the things that you are learning, a time will come, a point will come when you will know, see, Jesus is all in all for me. Not a gift. And it doesn't necessarily have to be prayed for. Except you want to make your prayer point, Lord, I want to be sure, I want to have assurance of salvation, which is also not a sin. But I'm only saying that if you are practicing the word of God, it will come. That's what I'm saying.
You said there's a difference between backsliding and backsliding.
Yes, backsliding is already in the process. Backsliding is, he has concluded the process. It's out already. That's the difference. Yes.
Does everybody have a purpose in life?
Yes, everybody does have a purpose in life. Because there's a purpose in the mind of God for everyone.
How will you do?
As you walk with God, a time will come, he calls you aside and he tells you what you want to use your life for. That's how you know. Don't worry about it. Just continue obeying him and working with him. Don't think he will forget. He doesn't forget that kind of thing. Okay?
How can we separate our purpose in life from our career?
A round of applause. Very strong question. You are starting again. How can we separate our purpose in life from our career? Which answer do you want? The short version? The short church version? Or the whole truth?
The truth.
Are you ready to receive the truth? How would I say it now? What it looks like. Career is what you choose to become. Purpose is why you are sent into this world. If you are born again properly, career goes down so that purpose can stand. Amen. Right. Okay, that will lead to several other questions, have you? I know. But that is the truth. Career is what we choose we become. Purpose is why we are sent into this world. And purpose starts with a call. Okay? Now, all of us are called. Bible says, for many are called. Okay? So all of us are called. There's what God has in mind for everyone to become. All of us won't have to be preachers. All of us won't have to be pulpit preachers. But all of us will preach. Are you getting it now? But all of us don't have to be, it doesn't have to be that we don't want to, I'm answering the call, I become a pastor of XYZ church. No. Some of us will even find out that if we know the Lord early enough, you can even now go to university and all of that, study things that are in line with your purpose for living. Do you understand? For instance, I knew that I cannot escape ministry. Okay? Talent-wise, I'm an artist. Okay? Talent-wise. So when I was going to go to school, I studied fine art. Not because fine art or art is my call or my purpose, no. But because fine art or art generally has a very strong place in my call. Do you get the idea now? It will aid my call. Okay? So that's why I went to study fine art. Now I could do that because I was a Christian right from when I was a teenager. Do you understand? So it's easy for me as I'm growing up and all of that to know God's purpose for my life and what I would do, what I'm meant to become and all that. Okay? I know, of course, GSS3, then SS3 is, or SS2 to SS3 is where this first challenge comes. Whether you're going to go to sciences or you're going to go to the arts. I don't know about your schooling now, but when I was in school, from GSS3, they let you do all the sciences, the arts, the commercial. You do all the courses. You could be doing like 30 courses. Okay? Just to be able to know where your interests and strengths really lies. You understand? Then SS2 to SS3, career choice. Not be so? And Wahala becomes, or begins, because you're like, what do I want to become? Nobody asks, what does God want me to become? Okay? Now, while you will yet choose career, because we will not say, don't choose career, okay? Be flexible. That's all I will say. Be what? Be flexible. If you have not worked with God up to the point where you can know what He wants you to do, okay? Pray. And Lord, whatever I choose, let me choose by your Spirit, even when I don't understand. Do you understand? That's now not to say that you, somebody that is supposed to be in the arts, you now go and pick petrochemical engineering. Because even if you don't understand, you know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that in the areas of your strengths, okay, whatever you now eventually choose, even when you don't fully understand, be flexible. Meaning you can switch at any point in time, I will not be feeling bad about anything. Your fulfillment, your distinction, your identity, is only in your purpose. Praise the Lord. If you will not wish you are going to become like somebody else, if you will not wish that they bought their own car, when are we going to have a car in our life? It will be because you are living for what you were created for. So that's the difference between our career and our purpose. Career is what I want to do, what I choose to do. Purpose is what I'm called by God to become, what I'm predestined to become.
From what you said now, purpose comes before career.
Purpose always comes before career. In fact,
can we combine it?
How can we combine it? You can't.
But you have to work.
What is work?
Like in your chosen line of career, you have to.
See, you are confronting me with word system that will confront you back with the word of God. It's not your fault though. This is how we're all brought up. You understand? You're not doing anything wrong. Suddenly you find yourself in a dilemma. Is it not so? You're expected to work. What have I been doing since Monday? I'm asking you. Huh? What have I been doing since Monday here? Huh? And what have I been doing? I've been working. That's what I've been doing since Monday. How will I eat? It is there. He that employs pays. He that does what? Is it not so? Those that will employ you in that your chosen career, won't they pay you? So the person that called me to that employed me, he's paying me. Have you had much offering? Have we asked you for? You understand? The person that employs me is paying me. I know it sounds weird. I will explain. Don't worry. But I want you to understand, first of all, work is not job. Career is job. The purpose of your life is your life's work. Do you understand now? For instance, it could be possible that God wants you to study nursing. Because where he wants you to be reaching out to people for him, where he wants you to be discipling people, is in the hospitals. As you preach to other nurses, what are you now doing? And they are now born again. You are the pastor in the hospital. If you now go and start Clinic Ministries International, are you in your purpose? You are out. Yet, isn't nursing supposedly a career? Yet, through the instrumentality of that career, that's where God has put your purpose. That also will be policemen. That also will be soldiers, sailors, politicians. Because the purpose of God for their lives is embedded in those worlds or those fields. Do you understand? I was not called of God to start a church. The day I start a church, anywhere you are, where you hear about it, shake your head, and this brother missed it eventually. It's so clear to me, I knew it from when I was very young. I had no business starting churches. I knew it. So because you wonder, how can you have this kind of gift? If you're a pastor of a church, they will finish me. Grace of God will just dry up. Then struggle. For the absence of grace. Or for the presence of struggle, the absence of grace. Okay, so I understand that I'm not supposed to be a church pastor. I understand it clearly. Yet, I've been one before. As I was growing up. You understand? So, okay?
So God chooses one's purpose and career.
Yes. But so I can show you also in the Bible.
So, is it that you draw out your career from your purpose or you draw your purpose from your career?
It is that you embrace your purpose and leave your career alone. Career will come if you embrace purpose. Do you understand? What did I say? Because funny enough, for instance, look at me now. I'm called to be a minister of the gospel. Is that not what I'm called to be? Yet, I'm a trained artist. You understand? Recently, some people are asking me I should come and lecture in their schools to teach children about art. If I have free time, what happens? I'll go for it. There's no big deal there. You understand? Isn't that supposedly a career? Yet, can I not walk away from it anytime? Can I walk away from this one? Do you understand it now?
Terry, my questions are
No. We're in order. We have time.
one's purpose, you can only have one purpose in life, right?
Yes, you can only have one purpose in life.
What, how would you advise a person is good biblically, preaches the gospel, and the person also ministers through singing?
Okay.
So would you advise the person to embrace the singing aspect
or the preaching? You must have believed this career thing for such a long time. You know what I would advise the person? Respond to the Holy Spirit and follow him in whatever way he leads you. Simple. I told you I'm an artist. I didn't tell you I'm also a writer. I can write stories, then draw them. Okay? And recently I've been sensing that the Holy Spirit wants me to write and draw Nigeria's history. Actually, I've done some work in that field before. And it's not even a career for me. It's more of a call. The only kind of people that can write Nigeria's history must be patriotic people and God-fearing people who will not doctor history. Do you understand? So God says, do it. And apart from preaching, that's one of the other things I do. Can you see that now? See, the more you walk with God, how old are you now? You're very smart. The more you walk with God, don't think it's not a problem. Okay? It's not a problem. There are things God told me when I was 17 that I should do. That I know. Only for him to come, but I need to do it. See this writing stuff. You come up after the work. And I'm telling you, it's more difficult for me to write facts than to preach. Yet, from when I was 17, that told me it's one of the core things that I'll be doing. I'm doing it though, but I find that it takes more for me to write one single track than to teach the Bible or preach. Why? I don't know. But if I'm not doing that, I don't feel like I'm doing very hard work. But I know what it takes for me. Do you understand that? So, let it start out itself. Okay? What's important is this. There's a general purpose, but there's also a specific purpose, okay? The general purpose for every worker that you become born again is that we are given a ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, okay? From verse 18 to 20, okay? Your specific purpose is now, this is your ministry of reconciliation, where are you posted to? For whatever God calls you for, it can never be more than either you are bringing people to God, or you are keeping people in God. It can't be more than that. If you like, be president of the country. If you like, be a soldier. Be whatever you want to be. Reconciliation with God. That is of men to God. Is the core principle thing that Jesus came to. Is it not so? So we're supposed to continue also. But where will I be posted? I don't know. You don't know. You understand? But the more we walk with God, what happens now? The more he points out to us, do this, do that, do that, do this. Okay?
How do you know if you're really called by God in a particular life?
How do you know?
Yes.
The more you walk with him, the older you become as a Christian, the clearer those things become.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, people have different gifts from God.
Yeah.
Some people are meant to preach, and even on the pulpit, they see visions to people. Some people sit and just see visions. Some people dream. How would you advise a person who has not been in line to follow the line of God and counter fear?
To counter fear. Yes. The most important thing. Let's say you didn't hear anything that we said this Monday. I know you had it. But let's assume you have not had anything this month. The most important thing is just this one thing. Okay? This one thing. Follow Jesus. Study your Bible to follow the examples of Jesus. Study your Bible to practice the teachings of Jesus. You will never miss it. Where these things will fall in line will sort themselves out. And fear will run away. Because when you're about to do those things, the Holy Spirit will work it out in you. Do you understand? He will make you do that. Because that's supposed to be spiritual, you know, so. And you can't do spiritual things without the Holy Spirit. You want to trouble. Okay? So you just have to let him do that. You sort it all out. Okay.
Thank you.
Round of applause. Very good series of questions. I hope we answered well.
Okay.
Is there any other question? We still have 30 minutes. But if there are no questions, we'll close and go. You have a question? Angel, you have a question? Yes? Yes, Ryan. Like when he says shoemaking, I mean being a cobbler, actually, you know, but it's because of the way you see cobblers as people that repair shoes. I know somebody who is a graduate, but he's a shoemaker. In fact, he makes my slippers, and he's more busy than banking. Do you understand? He built his house from that business. Do you understand? I'm not saying he's working with God or he's not. I'm only trying to tell you that. You know, the concept of shoemaking you have is go. So you feel like, can somebody become this? You know? So, if it's in that regard, you are right, because it's the economic situation that pushes people to become that. Just as people choose to prostitution as a way to quickly make money. You understand? So, in that context, you are right. In that context, you are right. People don't, you don't just become something that is not used. How can you become, what do you call this? Command team. You're not the drop. The Yoruba one, are you normal tire? Commodore and Kingfisher. Why would you choose your life and that's how you become? Nobody chooses that as a career. And it is not only a purpose. You know, it's just. It's just what people do because they are hungry and they want to do something. Yeah.
Sorry. Nowadays, you hear people thinking some people combine worldly music and some combine Christian music into worldly music. Which one do you think?
The one that converts godly music into worldly music is blasphemy. The blasphemer. The one that converts worldly music into godly music is not only a blasphemer, it's something else that is an apostate. You understand? At the time in the church, it was a willow. So people are free to dance, they can't dance in their nightclubs. Church will finish their willow dancing. They are singing godly. There's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Inspiration belongs to God, but there are also pretenders, evil spirits, that pretend to give inspiration. So if God cannot inspire you, and God has the highest level of wisdom, it is demonic wisdom that you get inspiration for, then you want to push it down God's throat, that you must accept worship or praise in a worldly manner. Both are blasphemous, both are evil. No, sorry, one is... the one that converts godly song to worldly song, okay? That's what it's called. What is it called? When you take something holy, and you like profanity, like you profane, you disrespect what is righteous, okay? But then it's profanity and blasphemy. You understand? Because you are taking something that's holy and making nonsense. Then to take something that's unholy and try to break it into holiness. I don't have the English for it. But it's compromising. It's like being a compromiser. You understand? Because in itself, it's unclean. And he knows It's identity that is unfulfilled. So then match it by force that God, you will accept it completely. Okay? That person is worldly and is a compromiser. So I can't call that blasphemy. Because in itself, the thing is dirty. You understand? I mean, the source of what you are bringing in is dirty. It is when you add to or take from what is holy, okay, that you are blaspheming. You understand? So that's called a compromise, but and it's also very, very terrible. You know, because you are kindling a strange fire. And those who did it in the vertical spend the drop on it. You understand? Is that what your choir does?
Can we stop or advise you that sing Christian song in a place that is not holy? Just like the Bible said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a faith man?
Okay.
So how can we advise or stop people that do that?
That sing the songs when?
In a place that is not holy.
Like when?
Maybe club or a party that is not a Christian gathering.
My sister, disciples should cut out all that. Honestly. Because if you were a disciple and you are an instrumentalist, if I'm the one discipling you, you can never play in a club. It won't happen. Yet, you can have that career if God has called you to instrumentation, you understand? You can have that career as a career, or it can even be a call. Because there are people who the Bible says were prophesying with instruments. Are you getting it now? So it could even be a ministry and it could be your career, but you will never play in clubs and you will never do that because there are several places where instrumentation is needed. For instance, in the film industry, okay, I actually believe that Nollywood is very unprofessional when it comes to soundtracks, sound effects, and all that. They don't have anything. There's no film that's original. When you see their original soundtracks, very weird kind of thing. You know, but if you watch a film like Lord of the Rings, there are some soundtracks that you can just identify with certain maybe action. But sometimes there are sounds for maybe an army is marching. It's amazing. And all of those experiences is what makes it a movie. That's our own experience, what makes our own video. You know, a movie and a home video are not the same. Budget wise, the movie's budget is higher. If the sound, the soundtrack is so, all true, that you're not even tired. I don't know why people watch this. Nothing in music, nothing in special effects, nothing in all of those kind of things. Okay? So we can't, there's no way you can tell someone that plays in a club not to sing thank you Jesus as he come back on Sunday to play. First of all, it was the pastor that is paying him every Sunday that you come and pray for them. Then during the week, he can become whatever he wants to be. You understand? The only way around it is that he let this person be brought in. If an instrumentalist is here now, he is listening to us, will he go back and stay in the club? Except he wants to go to hell. Simple. Are you getting it now? So, we can't control what they do in the world because they are worldly people. You understand? But we can control what happens in the church because the church is expected to be the ground and pillar of truth. Okay?
I have two questions.
Two.
The first one is about the word we.
What is it?
Yes. Like, in my church, last week's. So, first Sunday, I was Thanksgiving. So, the girl I was playing, it was playing a beat, like a worldly beat. But I don't know that it was a worldly beat though, but they told us the picture. So, when they were dancing, so the guy was playing a worldly beat. So, my classmate. They're like, you're now dancing. They're like, what happened? They're like, singing. Yeah, he did the band. And we danced. I don't know.
So you cannot be accounted as a singing. But to the one that was beating the thing, if he dies in that state, he's going to hell. People joke around holy things, you know. And I don't know if their pastor does not know the tune. I don't know. Let me assume he doesn't know the tune. But he's still in trouble for bringing someone that was not better. Do you understand? To minister to God with instruments. Do you understand? I mean the pastor. And if the pastor knows the sound, but since that way, what is the other thing? What the back menu you are in? You understand? That's
the second question. I have a weakness.
A weakness?
Yes. When I wanted to take my course in school, I wanted to go for a course. So at all, they're like, I should not go for this, that. The economy now goes.
What stuff
like that. I wanted to go for this administration. But I told them my own. So they're like, if you study this at home, you will be the own company like Nigeria now at least. So they were just advising me. So they said I should go for a professional course at home.
What does that one mean? What
professional course? Like accounting.
Are you good in mathematics?
I'm not.
Don't go for accounting.
The thing is, because they advised me, like, go for a professional course. And I've already chosen my, because the advice, I just decided, because I was thinking about it, and I was like, let me just pay my school fees. If I, a lot of things that was bothering me. So, but she was telling me not, because she advised me, that doesn't mean I should do what.
She told you that because she advised you, didn't mean to do it though, but you did it all the same, all anyway.
Yes, I now chose accounting.
When you're not good at math.
So, and.
Do you need the professor to tell you how to do it?
Huh?
So. It's better to. I think you can do that course exchange thing or something. And I think it should be easier from accounting to business admin. It's a bit more difficult in campuses from business admin to accounting admin. I'm sorry? You just go. It's just a form, Abby. A change of course form. Okay? Go for what you are, what you love and what you want to do. Huh? Never let anybody. When you are there in the school, will she be there? I think the person that's back to my younger sister. Will she be there with you? Is she good in math? She has them. Go for it. That will explain to you how you change the course. Huh? Your school fees should be paid. Why? This is what I want. And it's not true that it's what is forced to study. That is the basis of what work we will do in Nigeria. It's not true. We have BSc Yoruba in banks. And they are not in the thing who are, what do you call it? Department or something. That won't count them on. What do you know is Yoruba? Okay? Go and study what you want to study. You are told me now that what you want to study is botany. Botany is study of flowers. And I told you, I don't know. You understand? People that study, that they study flowers, they have not yet gotten jobs in Nigeria. If you study flowers, I don't know. But this has been can be put into so many different things. You understand? Don't have to go out there. Somebody is asking you, what's the brother? Is your brother? And not to be good in maths doesn't mean you are God. Huh? Please, listen to me. Do you understand? Doesn't mean you are God. I'm not good in maths. But I am standing. And you don't need math. You have it? Yes, in my work. It's not all about calculating. How do you go ahead? And I think you have to calculate it, you understand? But the way I interpret my own calculation is not the one plus something. There's no work that doesn't require calculation. Not one. And that is always sad when we just straight jacket everything into. Nothing requires calculation. For instance, not to inject somebody. If you inject in the wrong place, the person will not be able to work well. So you have to calculate which is the best place to get this person injected. If you don't calculate when, what time, let's say pharmacy now, you don't calculate that if you give this person this one and that one, and we meet it together, can we separate it? Things like that. You understand? So everything requires calculation. Israel.
My question is on holiness.
Holiness.
So, in your definition, holiness is a quality of perfection, sinlessness,
yes,
and inability to sin.
Yes.
Inability to sin.
Yes.
What I want to point out there is what you point out is perfection, sinlessness. What is baffling me now is, God is perfect. That was why He created all we human perfect. He gave us everything that we needed.
Let me help
you. Let me land.
Okay, because where you are going is easy. If the sinlessness are all of that, how can we be holy? Is that not where you are going? Well, I thought that's where you are going, so that I can help you.
So, sir, I saw some people. They are blinded.
Yeah.
Blind, rather. So, physically blind. So, sometimes I normally look at them that these people are not seeing what I'm saying. So, sometimes I normally think for them that they are safe from sin, temptation. So, I'm not judging God for creating me perfectly that I can see or something like that, but sometimes I look at in this world, like now, for someone coming to this kind of meeting, to be sincere with you, I'll wish living this way, closing my eyes till I get to not seeing anything, so that I will not be corrupted. Because there's no how you start going on now. It may not be even you saying something. It may be a song that you just heard, or something like that. Before you know it, can corrupt all the old things that you have done. So, I want you to just talk about how to, as in, sometimes now, that's for that one. How to be holy also. Even you saying something, there's a way you can condemn it, and even if you're hearing something, there's a way you can act over it. And the second one again is another dimension. In the aspect of you are a holy person, how come the holy person, I don't know how to, let me use this scenario. I have a phone before, an Android phone, it's not broken. So, I have some little money on it. But the money is capable of repairing the screen of the phone. But I had in my spirit that I shouldn't repair the phone. Instead, I should buy the phone. Are you getting me now? So, but the money that was on me is capable of repairing the phone. But if I got a smaller phone, I would still have a leftover money with it. But I decide and I think of what to do with that phone. I'll go WhatsApp, I'll do so many. But if I got a smaller phone, I cannot be fully up and stuff like that. So I decided to go and change the phone. So after that, 2 weeks later, the phone got broken again. So I want you to, I'm talking about in the aspect of being older. Now, let me say, I'm a holy man. So the only thing is talking about that. How can I do it in a way that I will not be falling into error? Because it's better not to fall than to fall and fall. So I want you to talk about
it. You about plus very strong question. Very, very strong question. The second one. When the Holy Spirit gives instructions, for instance, don't repair this so-called big phone. Would it be because you waste a lot of time on on that phone? Huh? Huh? Maybe on the WhatsApp thing or the Facebook thing and all that. He doesn't want to be wasting time. It could be because through the internet on that phone, you will enter into trouble. Over things you have not been mature enough to handle. For instance, maybe pornography. How do you know you can pornography for just now you may want to save you from that. And phones are so personal. So that if you are addicted to pornography by your phone, it will be more difficult to discover you. Because you can't be looking at your phone now. And anybody can know that you can't.
Huh?
So then more so, the devil knows everybody's weak point. You understand? So maybe the plan was let us bring him down. You understand? What are we going to do? Let us do this phone. Since the only thing was the damage, even though they will not know, I mean those things, they won't know it. He comes and tells you, don't do this. In order to knock off what they were planning against you. You understand? And that's why it's very, very dangerous when instructions are given by the Holy Spirit for us to either be slow in obeying them or to actually disobey. Whatever God tells you to do is for your own good. It's for whose good? You cannot add to God. It's only from Him. Simply for your good. Do you understand? By spoiling the phone the second time again, because He had mercy on you. If He didn't, He would let that phone work perfectly well, and you continue from head from inside your phone. And you continue to head from inside your phone. Do you understand? Now, it might not even be pornography. You feel that you're wasting time. And it needs you at this time to build or to grow your roots deeply into Him. Do you understand? Meanwhile, this is you that wants to do that with your wasting time. Anytime you're online, like I told somebody, don't go online without the premeditated goal of what you want to do. If not, if you just go to the internet of the land, like dinner, you will return defiant. You know on the internet. So it's only people, those of us who constantly have internet access and all that, okay? We only use it for specific things that you want to achieve. But we have all been there too. I've been a victim to pornography before. You understand? And so that's why I know how to be able to tell you, you will come back normal this way. You understand? So that is that. How then can it be that can I be holy? The answer is there in, I think it's John chapter 2, whether it's verse 4 or portion. Whatsoever He says to you, do it. That's how to do it. Yes.
Some situation.
Yes.
Like there are sometimes when your, what I say, I don't want to use the word interest. I want to say your desire.
Okay.
What is desire? So like sounding more stronger than the prompting of the Holy Spirit.
In that kind of situation, you're about to die. You're about to die. Your spiritual life is about to what? Crash. Whenever your desires are strong, know that you are in trouble. And whatever your desires tend to be the opposite, all that strong thing will go down. Do you understand? When your desires are strong, the enemy is closer to achieving his goal against your life than he had ever been close in a very long time. That's why it's applied that much pressure on you. Using your own that. Do you understand? Do you understand? You don't understand what I'm saying? Huh? You get me, Abby? So, let's say now that, for instance, let's say you are on your phone. I'm just giving that as an example. And then, you know, sometimes this is good thing now, if you are online, particularly those phones that are not secure, all manner of things just fly there. And you're like, oh, what is it? And you hear, just check. Munch the fruit twice. How many times? Do you understand? So instead of just check, what do you do? Don't check. When you hear just check, tell yourself, I'm not checking. If you can't say it out. Do you understand? You have control back again. Not checking. Then you can do things like praying constantly. No, let sin. And but it's a prayer you pray constantly. Oh. Let sin. And temptations to sin. They are disgusting to me. They are disgusting to me. As when I stand before vomit, or when I stand before poo, or when I stand before my God. And because you have prayed it, there's something about God. You may forget your prayer point. Huh? Once you have prayed them, He holds them. Do you understand? He doesn't just hold them all. When they need for the answers to come, what happens now? He brings the answers. Because you prayed it. Do you understand? Can you stay around something, you know, where my God are just, you know, just dancing, there are plenty. Huh? The Lord doesn't look like that to me. So every time He comes, even you won't know why you are just escaping it. Because you have prayed it. Those are the things that we call consecration prayers. The kind of prayers that you will be held, you will be kept by God. Against all odds. Amen. He's not here now, so I can't answer the second one. When he comes back. How can you be so sure that the Holy Spirit speaking to you and not an evil spirit? The Holy Spirit will never tell you to do something sinful. That's how you can be sure. If it's the Holy Spirit, it will ask you to do things that glorify God, that bless other people, and will edify you, that is, will build you up spiritually. The devil will never tell you, you have not read your Bible. Study your Bible. Study. Will the devil say that? He will say, play that game one more time. Candy Crush, is that the one on the phones? Play it one more time. That's what he will say. I'm not saying it's wrong to play games. Huh? But it is very, very wrong when you are addicted to games and hours are passing and you are seeing Candy Crushing. That is wrong. Even you know that that's wrong. Okay? His first question was what?
The first question was, how can someone be holy in all truth? In the aspect like maybe the things like I use the example of a blind person,
okay.
And I use the example of a blind person that for him not seeing,
he's
saved from the sin of sin, but he can hear.
Yeah.
So he may not be saved from the sin of hearing. So I want to know how someone can be saved from the sin of seeing, hearing, and even talking.
Do you know why temptations are good?
Why?
Temptations, why they are good?
Good.
As in why it is good that we face temptations. Do you know why?
I think to know...
It's not to know. It's to examine us. The things that we have learned, that we say we know, whether we really believe what we say... That's the only thing it does.
So whenever someone hears the word of God, just be waiting for
every something. Word of God you hear, you'll be tested on them. Not some, every. Do you understand? So the purpose of those temptations is to test you to see this thing that you say, you know, I want to follow Jesus now. Is this serious? So yeah, you know you are not a serious person. You understand? Oh God, deliver me. I want to follow you. I want to be holy. You know that there are kinds of sins that come from sight. Is it not so? So when you see something that will make you sin, that has to do with sight, nobody will turn your eyes away. You are the one that will tell you, eyes, turn away. Now there are scriptures that I can give you that can help you. You understand? Like Job chapter 31 verse 1. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look lustfully as a young lady? Matthew 5, where Jesus was talking about he that looks at a woman to lust after her. Okay? So, if you know that he has already committed adultery. Now, I know that the minister of God, three major things to be the problem: sex, pride, money. Do you understand? Where pride includes issues of fame and all of those kind of things. So, I had to find things. I ask God, what do I need to know so that I will not fall into sexual sin and all that? He told me to study the book of Proverbs. Do you understand? Particularly from chapter 5 to chapter 7. Okay? Then also, the words of Jesus about when you look lustfully at a woman, you will go to hell. Then I remember 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God, neither fornicators, nor adulterers. And remember he had said that if you look, you have committed adultery, will I enter from just looking? And of course, I want to enter the kingdom of God. Excuse me. Okay? So, I won't do that. Okay. So, I will not do that. There's a level you get to. Huh? What Satan brings to you is actually the very object of your lust. And if you survive it, the kind of spiritual promotion that you receive. Do you understand? Calm down. Come here. I'm coming home. Let's say now, for instance, the kind of woman you like is yellow women that are a bit plump. You will notice that it's not every woman you look at. It's not every woman that passes that you look at. You. Do you know the ones that you look at? The exact type that you like. I noticed that about myself. And that's what Bible is simple. Now we are talking women. If you're a woman, you know it's not every type of man that you like. You know, so your own may be that you like short men with pot belly. You understand? Those are the kind of men that you are attracted to. There are people like that. There are fat men that you're attracted to. There are some, you must be, you know, tall, slim. Some is like, it doesn't matter what the man looks like, once he speaks fine English. So you must know what your issues are. It's important. So instead of when you see what your issues are, you are speaking. That when you see danger, and you can be very careful around that thing. Why does God allow weaknesses? Because your weaknesses makes you usable. Your strength makes you useful. Your weakness is what makes you remember that you're not God and that you can fall. Do you understand? Now, so if you know that maybe what you like is like plump yellow women. Whenever you are now going on the road and there's a plump yellow woman in front, where should you be looking? Find somewhere else to put your eyes. Or walk to overtake her so that you are okay. Are you getting it? Now somebody said, but of course, the moment you are married, all of those things go away. No, it won't go away. It won't. Why? It's not that that thing in itself is sinful. No. There's just an attraction. Are you getting it? There's always what you like. For instance, now, you have an ice cream, vanilla, strawberry, chocolate. There will always be a preference. You can't like the three of them. That's what is wrong with you. You know, there'll be one that you like most in taste, in the way it feels, and all. You understand? So it's the same with everything: clothing, the opposite sex, even the same sex. You are getting it now. So what makes it evil is an attachment to that attraction. Where you are now making it a duty, every plump woman, you must say, how will she look like when she's you understand? When you're not attached to that attraction, that is the evil. For you can't have every woman, can you? Can you have every woman? Solomon tried it. You saw what he became. You understand? And if you are the opposite sex here too, you don't change it the other way, okay? If you like tall, dashing young man, why you think I tell yourself? What about hearing? Just as you make a covenant with your eyes, make with your ear. It is not every sound that glorifies God, is it? So you tell yourself, my life is reserved to bring God glory. Since you've known me, have you ever heard worldly songs from me before? That maybe I'm just walking. Have you? Is it because I know you are coming, so I'm careful with what I'm playing? You won't catch me singing anything. Either I'm singing or I'm listening to you. Because I have told myself my life will bring God glory. And I know that this thing I'm listening to, they are enemies of God. And they are not hiding it. You understand? So there's no basis, there's no point. All the worldly songs is either pride, violence, or sex. That's what it's all about. All the worldly songs. Either pride, violence, or sex. Check them. What creation number? What's that one? Huh? What creation number? I want that one. You know? All those rap songs, most of them, you know, I said it's either what? Violence, pride, or then, sorry, I didn't include money. Is that money, pride, violence, or sex? Summarize all of them. They will fall into one of those. Once you understand that, you have no business singing those things because you know it doesn't glorify you. That's how to handle it. And know that temptations are good because it keeps you on your toes. What does it do? Apart from testing to see whether what you say you believe it, it keeps you on your toes. Maybe you have caught yourself like a woman. Yeah. So I see that capacity. Just by that speaking in tongues, I can see you looking at women. So you know you have a problem there. Do you understand? You're going to raise it to the Holy Spirit so that I can help you. Okay? Okay? Thank you. Very good question. Yes. How many people are left after Ryan? Is there anybody left? You'll be the last person. Tell me no more today. Yes.
My age of accountability, I got to know it in Christ.
Your age of accountability.
Yeah, I got to know it in Christ. And then when we were in children's department, they taught us to crown the memory verse, recite the memory verse. When I became matured, I joined senior choir without going training process. But
I can't hear you.
When I became mature, I joined the senior choir without going through any protocol.
That what?
Going through any process or protocol.
No,
I just joined.
Just
I just joined. So, I used to say I was born again. But now that I saw these processes, I got to realize that I was not even born again. So, one day, we're singing a song. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the Lord. And I heard it in my spirit that, Sola, don't join them in singing the song. But I could not because I was part of the backers. When I got home, I was like, you know, you don't want that position with the things you are doing and done something. Now, I want to ask, with this that I've got to understand, I know the process of salvation and everything. Do I leave or I just continue?
You leave what?
Do I leave that place? Do I step down or I just continue? I know that when I'm ripe, I'll continue. Wow. Yes.
Don't tell them that not because anything is wrong. Wait, let me look at it. Who's your choir master? Huh? Explain to him. Explain what you have explained to me. Explain to him. Let it be his decision. Rashad Gwynn is supposed to be the brother that was telling you, that was announcing to you here a few days ago about late coming meetings and all that. Remember Rashad Gunnar? Quiet, hard, and friendly. So explain to him just as he explained to me. He will answer you whatever I should have answered you and more. You understand? Because if he says stay, then he can watch over you himself. Because I know he has capacity for things like that. You understand? And if he says leave, he will still watch over you spending the time you are there. It's better that you should listen to him. I answer that peculiarly because the case is peculiar, you understand? If I don't know who your choir master is and I don't know his spiritual stand, I may tell you most probably leave. You understand? Since I know who your choir master is, there's no point. Yes, Ryan.
Revelation says, I want everyone who hears the word of the professor. God will add to him the plague, describe the disease. And if anyone takes away from the words of
there are many, the Bible says, who peddle the word of God. You know, when you sell granite, you sell what do you call Google? English. Popcorn. Or, you know that, you know, when wala mango, there are people that's how they sell. You understand? From add to it. God said, borrow money in your pocket. Added it. That place where they said, borrow vessels. Not a few. What were they saying? God wanted to bless that woman, be? It's not that God wanted to collect from that woman. Now, you are using that you want to collect from woman, the money that's in her pocket that's not her own, they should borrow, that God wants to use. They are not adding to the word of God. So God will add to that person's punishment. The moving from the word of God, not saying the whole thing that you're saying. So what will happen? God will remove a portion to Jerusalem. That's what it is. Not preaching the word of God in truth. That's simply what it means.
How do you know different when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and your conscience?
The difference between your conscience and the Holy Spirit. And I touched a bit a few minutes ago. If it is the Spirit of God, it will always tell you things that glorify God. Things that bless other people and things that will eventually make you grow. But let me simplify it for you. Should I simplify it? Huh? If you want to differentiate between the voice of the Holy Spirit and your own human voice, simply do this. It is written, I just want that scripture just now, in John 14, verse 21. The seed that has my commandments and love me, that loves me. He that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And I will love him. As you obey the written word, the spoken word becomes clearer. Do you understand? As you obey what is written in the Bible, and you practice it, and you live your life like that, and you meditate on the wordings in the Bible, okay? Because the person speaking, that is God, the person that wrote the Bible, did he say what is against the Bible? No. Then the more you obey the Bible verses that you are reading, that is written down, the easier it is that when it speaks to your heart, you can pick it. Do you understand? Meanwhile, your own voice is just you. Do you understand? If it's just your conscience, okay? Your conscience can't give you instruction. Most of the time, your conscience tells you, this is right or this is not right. But it's even only if your conscience has been washed by the word of God. There's something that we call dead conscience. When somebody keeps doing something over and over and over and over again, God says, stop, stop, stop. After a while, what happens? God is silent. He doesn't say anything like that again. Okay? But when we allow our conscience to be washed and cleansed by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, your conscience becomes very tender and sensitive. So that if you're doing something, easy for the time to you are not doing this the Word of God. You understand? But it won't come to you like it's for your conscience cannot give you instruction. It's just a judge between right and wrong. You understand? And that's the voice of your own human spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will admonish you. He will advise you. He will instruct you. He will command you. Huh? He could even rebuke you. I mean his voice. You understand now? And how do you know from the voice of the devil or evil spirits? They will never tell you to do something that you. They will never tell you to do something that will help other people and you will not gain anything from it. For instance, you are going out of your house. I like using this example. There are clothes on the floor, the line, clothes that were hung there on the wall. What will you hear? Huh? Who is that talking? It's God. For he who knows the right thing that he's supposed to do and doesn't do it to him, it's a sin. You are passing by the trash can. Your house is over full, but the person that should die is going to turn it is your younger brother. And as you are passing by, you say, yes, I know it's your younger brother, I will turn it. What will he say? Go and turn it. You say, no. You know, you even answer back. So it is his turn. It's not my turn yet. Huh? After I have done it, I'll do my way. You go your way. So, oh Lord, when will I be sensitive? When you are sensitive in those small, small, little things. Do you understand? That's it. That's how to know. But the easiest way is always as you study your Bible. Huh? As you read your Bible, obey what you are reading. Think on what you are reading. Pray with what you are reading. Huh? As you meditate on the Word of God, it becomes very easy that when God speaks in your heart, that you pick it. Okay? And above it all, make it your will. Please go. Even when you're not able, willing. Once you're like that, it's easy for God to reach you and to speak to you. Praise the Lord. Glory be to His holy name. Let us stand up as we appreciate God.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
0833483058 0831338536 0841588177 0841409913211
or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life